the third son, Alyosha. He was only 20. His brother Ivan was in his 24th year at the time, while their elder brother Dmitry was 27. First of all, I must explain that this young man, Alyosha, was not a fanatic, and in my opinion at least, was not even a mystic. I may as well give my full opinion from the beginning. He was simply an early lover of humanity, and that he adopted the monastic life was simply because at that time it struck him, so to say, as the ideal escape for his soul, struggling from the darkness of worldly wickedness to the light of love. And the reason this life struck him in this way was that he found in it at that time, as he thought, an extraordinary being, our celebrated elder, Sosima, to whom he became attached with all the warm first love of his ardent heart. But I do not dispute that he was very strange, even at that time, and had been so indeed from his cradle. I have mentioned already, by the way, that though he lost his mother in his fourth year, he remembered her all his life. Her face, her caresses, as though she stood living before him. Such memories may persist, as everyone knows, from an even earlier age, even from 2 years old, but scarcely standing out through a whole lifetime, like spots of light out of darkness, like a corner torn out of a huge picture which has all faded and disappeared, except that fragment. That is how it was with him. He remembered one still summer evening, an open window, the slanting rays of the setting sun, that he recalled most vividly of all. In a corner of the room, the holy image, before it a lighted lamp, and on her knees before the image, his mother, sobbing hysterically with cries and moans, snatching him up in both arms, squeezing him close till it hurt, and praying for him to the Mother of God, holding him out in both arms to the image as though to put him under the mother's protection. And suddenly, a nurse runs in and snatches him from her in terror. That was the picture. And Alyosha remembered his mother's face at that minute. He used to say that it was frenzied but beautiful, as he remembered. But he rarely cared to speak of this memory to anyone. In his childhood and youth, he was by no means expansive and talked little indeed, but not from shyness or a sullen unsociability. Quite the contrary, from something different. From a sort of inner preoccupation, entirely personal and unconcerned with other people, but so important to him that he seemed, as it were, to forget others on account of it. But he was fond of people. He seemed throughout his life to put implicit trust in people. Yet no one ever looked on him as a simpleton or naive person. There was something about him which made one feel at once, and it was so all his life afterwards, that he did not care to be a judge of others, that he would never take it upon himself to criticize, and would never condemn anyone for anything. He seemed, indeed, to accept everything without the least condemnation, though often grieving bitterly, and this was so much so that no one could surprise or frighten him. Even in his earliest youth. Coming at 20 to his father's house, which was a very sink of filthy debauchery, he, chaste and pure as he was, simply withdrew in silence when to look on was unbearable, but without the slightest sign of contempt or condemnation. His father, who had once been in a dependent position and so was sensitive and ready to take offense, met him at first with distrust and sullenness. "He does not say much," he used to say, "and thinks the more." But soon, within a fortnight indeed, he took to embracing him and kissing him terribly often, with drunken tears, with sottish sentimentality. Yet he evidently felt a real and deep affection for him, such as he had never been capable of feeling for anyone before.